Scripture passages, the first from the Old Testament, Isaiah, from Isaiah chapter 11, and the second from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. But before I read, I invite us to bow for a moment of prayer. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And from Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Nativity scenes are as much a part of our Christmas celebrations as trees, ornaments, lights, wreaths, and presents. You may have one or more nativity scenes at your house. I know some people collect them from different places or different times with different kinds of figures. Some are small, they'll fit on a tabletop. Some are a little bit larger, like these, or the one in the narthex. And even sometimes outdoors you see life-size nativity scenes. Living nativities are also popular, but they aren't anything new. In fact, the first one was done by St. Francis of Assisi in the year 1223. He arranged a manger scene with hay and an ox and a donkey in a cave in the Italian village of Grisio. And there Francis preached about the babe of Bethlehem. Two churches I have served had living nativities while I was there. I know Floral Heights used to have one. And so as the pastor played my part, whether it was as a shepherd or a wise man, I don't even remember what I had to do. But a lot of times living nativities will have live animals to go along with them, and those live animals are always a challenge. And do they cooperate? Do they stay where they're supposed to be? Can you even lead them to the nativity scene in the first place? I love it how in nativity scenes, the animals are always so calm, so peaceful, just lying there, standing quietly, when we know in a living nativity, the donkey may be braying loudly, or the sheep trying to run off, or whatever it might be. And nativity scenes have faced their share of challenges. We know that in some places, nativity scenes are no longer allowed on public property, like on the courthouse lawn, as they used to be just sort of a fixture. Several years ago at a Free Methodist church in Anchorage, the church was mystified when they received a letter from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, chastising the church for using live animals in their living nativity scene. And they were mystified, as I said, because the church hadn't used any real animals. It was just people dressed up in cow and camel costumes. But what would a nativity scene, living or otherwise, be without animals? It would seem pretty empty, wouldn't it? But you know, the truth is, and I hate to burst your bubble, but the truth is, the Bible mentions no animals at the birth of Jesus. In fact, the former Pope Benedict admitted as much in his 2012 book about the birth of Christ. Now, if you don't believe me, oh, I'm sure they're in there somewhere. Look it up. Look, Luke chapter 2, Matthew 1. I don't think you'll find any animals there. But we don't draw our Christmas traditions and our nativity scenes only from the Bible. Of course, we layer in there other traditions, Christmas songs, movies, TV shows, popular culture, and all of that surrounds our Christmas celebration. So, if the animals are not there in the Scriptures, why do almost all of our nativity scenes include some kinds of animals, whether it's cows or sheep or camels or donkeys, or chickens, roosters, doves? One even had a peacock in it. Well, I think there are lots of reasons why animals are there. As I said, in that very first, as far as we know, living nativity done by St. Francis back in the 1200s, he had an ox and a donkey as a part of that scene. And that comes from Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." It was referring to people who did not recognize the Son of God. But animals in our nativity scenes are just part of our tradition. There's a song in the hymnal number 227, and maybe you've sung it before. It's a kind of a children's song, but it's actually a 12th century French Christmas carol. It's called The Friendly Beasts, number 227. And if you look at the words of that hymn, it mentions several animals, a donkey, a cow, a sheep, a dove, and they all give their own kinds of gifts to the baby Jesus. And other animals seem logical, if not strictly biblical, in our nativity scenes. And it all has to do, as the children rightly recognize, it has to do because of the place where Jesus was born. If Jesus had been born in an ordinary house, we might not think about animals being there and laid just in a kind of a crib or in his mother's bed. But we know that's not the way the Christmas story happened. When Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem and the time came for Mary to have the baby, it says there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we think of inn as like the Holiday Inn or the Hilton or something like that, but it really means a guest room. For whatever reason, there was no guest room for them, maybe in any of Joseph's relatives' houses, and so they had to scramble to find a place for the baby to be born. So maybe it was in one of those relatives' homes, not in the guest room, but on the lower level where the animals were kept, because it was very common in those days for people to keep animals in their houses at night for protection. But maybe it was in a stable or a cave out behind the home. But it says clearly that the baby Jesus was laid in a manger. And a manger, of course, is an animal's feed trough. It's where you'd put the hay or the feed or the water for the animals. So where there's a feed trough, there are more than likely animals present there. Were they actually at the birth? We just don't know. We assume there were probably sheep there because shepherds showed up And maybe they brought some of their sheep with them, or maybe just some of those sheep followed along behind as they made the journey to Bethlehem. But also, sheep are important in the scene because they have symbolic value. They remind us that the baby that was born in Bethlehem grew up to be our good shepherd. And he called us, his people, his sheep, the sheep of his flock. There's a donkey usually there because we assume Mary needed some kind of transportation to get all the way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And maybe she did ride on a donkey. We don't know for sure. But again, a donkey means humility. And the story later says that Jesus did ride a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And so maybe his mother rode one too. Camels are in the scene, of course, because of the Magi, the wise men. Usually three camels, as in our scene here. But the problem with that is, one, we don't know the exact number of wise men who were there. It never says. It just says wise men. We say three because they gave three kinds of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it doesn't actually say that they rode camels from wherever they came from, Persia probably, to Bethlehem. But again, they needed some kind of transportation probably to travel that far. So camels are a logical part of our nativity scene. Were there doves there, as that one song says? Maybe they were cooing the baby Jesus to sleep. And why not have doves there if we can have a little drummer boy playing pa-rum-pa-pum-pum on his drum? We don't have a drummer boy in our scene, but of course the song says. But we had cows and goats and maybe even chickens. Why not? Because in our nativity scene, we're not trying to be strictly biblically accurate, but we're saying something, I think, about what animals meant in that story and what animals mean to us. Some of us live in households that are very heavily populated by animals. Our house happens to have four dogs and two cats. We've had a lot more animals around in times in the past, but maybe some of you don't have any animals in your home. That's okay too. But people have had animals around them for a long time. And the animals at the nativity scene say some important things to us. For one thing, they say that our relationship to animals is important to us. Like that song I mentioned, The Friendly Beast says, the animals gave gifts to the baby Jesus. The donkey gave the gift of transportation to Mary. The cow gave her manger for his bed and hay for him to sleep on. The sheep gave wool for a blanket, and the dove cooed a lullaby to lull the baby Jesus to sleep. And animals still give us wonderful gifts. They give us gifts of companionship, of unconditional love, of food, of clothing. They just bring joy into our world. Imagine what the world would be like without animals. And of course, there are therapy animals that people bring into nursing homes or care centers that bring a great deal of joy to people who live there, maybe who were not able to bring their pets with them. You have therapeutic riding centers like Whispers of Hope here in Wichita Falls that provide horseback riding to military personnel, maybe who've suffered traumatic injuries, or to special needs children, or all kinds of folks get a great deal of therapy just from riding a horse. As they say, there's nothing better for the inside of a person than the outside of a horse. Now, my own experience with riding a horse is not all that fortunate, but I know there are people who love horses and ride horses, and I admire them. They're just not for me. But all these animals at the nativity scene speak to how important these wonderful animals are to us. And when Jesus came into the world in the form of a baby, it meant that the redemption of the world had begun. And it was the redemption of all creation, not just human beings, but all creation. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, all creation was waiting for redemption. And all creation has been redeemed by Jesus, as we will experience in that new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, will there be dogs and cats and pets in heaven? I don't know for sure about that. I like to believe so, yes. For some people, it wouldn't be heaven without their pets. For other people, maybe not so much. But all these animals present at the birth of Christ speak to all of creation, being made new. And Isaiah 11, that part I read a while ago, gives a picture of that future kingdom of God, where it says the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling lie down together, and a cow and a bear graze together. These animals that would naturally be enemies in nature, they all are living in this peaceable and peaceful kingdom of God. And it says, and a little child shall lead them. Animals in the nativity scene, at the manger scene, also suggest our responsibility to care for God's creatures, great and small. And some of us like to do that in our Christmas time giving. Maybe you have a favorite animal-related charity, maybe an animal shelter or an animal rescue center, or pets like where Maggie works that provide low or no-cost immunizations to pets, all speaking to our need to care for these creatures. Or maybe you give to an organization like Heifer Project. We got to visit one of their ranches in Arkansas last March during the Mystery Ramble. And Heifer Project is an organization that provides live livestock to people in need around the world, who then give the offspring to other people. So say they give a heifer to a family in Africa. That family pledges to give the first female offspring of that animal to another family. And so then the gift just keeps on giving and giving. And those are really the very best kinds of gifts. So I think animals have a lot of valuable lessons to teach us. But I think the best gift our animals give us, at least, is that unconditional love. There's nothing like walking in the door at the end of a long day, and your dog or dogs come up to greet you, and they're wagging their tails, and they're panting, and they're so happy to see you. No matter what kind of day you've had, or no matter what may have happened that morning, they're always there with that unconditional love, just reminding us that's the kind of love that God shows us and wants us to show one another. So I hope that we'll let all the friendly beasts at the manger scene allow us to welcome our newborn Savior. Amen.